College with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham. We're going to talk some UVA football on this podcast. And a topic suggested by a reader, and I thought it was a neat one to get into. And I had to do some research to be able to argue it. When we talk football, we're not going to talk hardcore football, X's and O's. We're not going to try to do that today. We're not even really going to talk much, if any, about the 2019 UVA football team. Did that a lot last week and the last couple of weeks with the ACC football kickoff. Today is more of a, what would a good word be here? It's more it's an existential kind of podcast. So right there, I'm probably turning half of you off, and that's okay. But the suggestion was, it was Tremaine Blair. And thanks, Tremaine, for, he's joined us on podcasts in the past, and a loyal listener, I suppose. And thanks, Tremaine, for your thoughts here on this. And the question that Tremaine asked, let me go ahead and look it up real quick. He said, podcast topic for you. Do you think that the new facilities being built will bring in better five-star type recruits that we can benefit from? Or do you think Coach Mendenhall's current style recruiting and building into five-star type athletes is the way he should continue going? Because what he's doing now is obviously working. Top 25 defense, the new DBU listing, etc. And then as we were trading back and forth on Twitter, DMing, looking forward to hearing more on this topic. I see benefits from both sides. There's a movie I'm in that's soon to come out, actually, too. We have talked about maybe have Tremaine on this. That's kind of neat. I know Tremaine is an actor and voice actor, too. And I'm sure he's a lot better at voicing things than I am. So, but that's the suggestion from Tremaine. So a little plug for Tremaine. I have to get some more info on that movie coming up. So looking at UVA football, and I'm not picking on UVA football here. I'm picking on all college football. So there you go. How do you like that? I'm not just picking on one. I'm picking on everybody. And how much money we spend on college sports. Well, we know that UVA Athletics is investing $180 million in a new athletics performance center. It's mostly for football. There are the other Olympic sports are going to get some new digs out of this too. But let's be honest, it's a football performance center. And I noted as I started getting into this that one question I don't ever recall seeing asked in stories about this, developing performance center is why. Simple question, why? And it's assumed that the answer is obvious. If you do this kind of thing, it's because you want to win, right? And, my follow-up is, no, seriously, why? Why do we spend $180 million on a new, basically, football performance center? And not just UVA, but any school. You name the school, fans listening to this, you're listening to this podcast, and I hesitate to say the word fan. I'm not that important. I don't have to have fans. You're listening. Thank you for listening. You may think I'm an idiot, and that's why you're listening, and that doesn't qualify you as a fan. But no matter what school you are, your school, from D3 on up, NAIA on up, JUCO on up, you're having people say, we need money for this. We need new turf field. We need a new weight room. I mean, at the low levels, and then at the high levels, you have the sleep pods and Ferris wheels and all that crap that they throw in SEC schools. And Clemson might as well be an SEC school as good as Clemson is. Number one in the coaches poll out today. VBA not getting ranked in that particular one. So why do we do all this? Why does anybody do this? Not just UVA again. I mean, but I'm looking at UVA. Why do we do this? And the thinking is, well, you do it because you want to win games, and winning games means you make more money. So let's examine that premise. And I think that's you can tell by the confidence in my voice that I've done this and that I know the answer. I'm gonna walk you through how I got there. And at the end of the day. spoiler alert, we're all still going to build these facilities. So no matter how smart ass I think I am, I'm still not going to win the battle here. But the best accounting and the easiest, if you want to say, and it's not easy even looking at this, but USA Today updates annually, and we're due for an update probably coming up soon. I almost wanted to wait and write this until the new numbers came out, but this topic was just eating my head up. I did a long run today. I was thinking this through, like, here's what I'll say, and then here's what I'll look up, and all this. So it had to be new, because it's just fresh in my head. Tremaine DM'd me this last night on Twitter, late last night on Twitter, and so it's been in my head. Okay. So the numbers, unfortunately, the only thing is they are a couple years old at least. And in fact, this is we're starting the 2019-2020 athletic year, and the most recent full figures from USA Today, which compiles this database, are still 2016-2017. For reference, that was Bronco Mendenhall's first football team at UVA. That was 2 years before UVA basketball won a national championship. So that's a while ago. But in that year, UVA brought in $92.9 million in revenues for athletics. And that was 39th nationally. And they ranked USA Today ranks 230 schools. The private schools don't have to give their numbers. And so they don't. So 39th out of 230 is about 1 out of 7, right? So, I mean, you're top 14% there. You're doing fine. Okay, so $92.9 million in revenues, $100.3 million in expenses. That was a year that Virginia lost money, $7.1 million. $100.3 million actually was the expenses. So $7.4 million loss that year. And so it made me look, all right, that was an outlier year, I thought. But actually, yeah, it was outlier in terms of the amount lost. But when you go back 5 years, and these numbers from USA Today go back, actually, I didn't look at it exactly, but it looked like they went back 25 or 30 years. But I just went back 5 because I wanted to do a comparison with other schools too. And I didn't want to spend all year on this. So I did 5 years for 4 schools. You go back to that 5-year period, and UVA showed a net profit, and I'm using that term loosely. College athletics programs are technically nonprofits. That's kind of funny. All the money that goes into college sports, and they're nonprofits. But I'm going to use the word profit because we all know what that means. More money taken in than money going out. So UVA operated a net profit just twice in that 5-year period leading up to between 2012 and 2017. And one was a $3.4 million profit in 2015-2016. And then there was just a small $200,000 profit in 2012-2013. So it made me think, all right, you know, let's look at some of our companion schools. And I just wanted to look at ACC schools. You start looking at SEC school, you look at Texas, those numbers are crazy. So I looked at 3 companion ACC schools. Virginia Tech's an obvious one. Just down the road in Blacksburg. 3 net profits in that 5-year period. Florida State had 4. Clemson actually had 5. But what's interesting is that we're not talking about, like, okay, so Virginia is just running the ship wrong and Craig Littlepage was let go for good, or he didn't let go, he retired, but, you know, maybe he was pushed out the door. We didn't know it for good reasons. They only had 2 profits in 5 years. Clemson had 5. Clemson's biggest profit was a $2 million profit. They ran a short margin, too, each year between $1 million and $1.5 million on revenues up to $100-plus million. So very, very slim margins there for Clemson. So I use that as a jumping-off point. You look at Clemson and Florida State, and what marks that 5-year period between 2012 and 2017 was that both those programs won national championships. Florida State played, and I think Clemson may have both played too. Clemson's success is top-level success is relatively more recent, but you know they both played in playoffs. They both won championships in football. So look at Clemson's numbers, the growth in overall budget first. 2012-2013, the overall athletics budget was $69 million, up to $112 million in 2016-2017, a 63% increase in spending over that period of time. Florida State saw a 58.1% increase in spending from $91.4 million in 2012 to $144 million in 2017. Now, they both saw revenues grow. Clemson, $67.1 million in 2012, $111.1 million in 2017. Florida State from $84.8 million in 2012 to $143.4 million in 2017. So they spent more and they made more. Now, if you just looked at that final set of numbers, you say, "See, right there, it proves it." If you invest money in these facilities, in your new facilities, you make more money. Mr. Pointy Head, get it all wrong. you know, and the only thing to me, the only thing you conclude is that if you spend more money on athletics, you're spending more money on athletics, because I don't think anybody with any kind of business sense, and there are a lot of people listening to this podcast who do have business sense. There's a lot more small businesses being run in our nation these days. You know, the days of our fathers and grandfathers working in plants and being able to make a good living are way back in the past. We, and a lot of folks are like us. I mean, my wife and I at Augusta Free Press, we've owned our own business for 17 years. We're doing well. You know, we're not going to be billionaires or anything else, but we're also not leveraged to the hilt and, you know, ready to go to jail for any kind of schemes that we do to keep afloat. We make money and we spend it, you know, nicely, and we have money left over at the end of the year, and we're investing in our future, that kind of thing. But a lot of you folks are the same way. If you have to manage your life that way, you know a little bit about what I'm getting ready to say here, which is it's not about how much you bring in. It's about, you know, how that does in terms of meeting your expenses. Well, when you look at the first set of numbers that I mentioned, the spending numbers, I mean, you know, yeah, you brought more in, but you spent just as much in relative to what you brought in from start to finish. You know, I'll use myself as I guess an example of, if I'm making $25,000 a year, okay, I'll actually use some relatively real numbers. When I started my journalism career, the most I ever made working for, I won a boatload of awards from the Virginia Press Association when I worked at the News Virginia newspaper, my first news job back in the late 90s. And the most I ever made in a year was $19,000. And I'm fortunate now, you know, my tax return last year showed, because of the work I do in journalism, I also do some, my wife and I own a marketing and web design company. So, you know, our family income last year was something like $150,000, roughly. I think it was $147,000 or something like that, but around $150,000. So now we met at the newspaper. She was also making $19,000. So our income from 2000 from 2000, when we left the newspaper business and started our own business, to now has basically quadrupled. Certainly our spending has gone up, because when you only make $38,000 as a family, you can't spend $100,000, right? You can't. But that said, our spending, you know, we do have money. And when you have more, you can do things like invest in other things. You can put money into 401ks, retirement. You can have better health insurance. You can do some things like that. So, you know, part of growth is that, but I mean, at the end of the day, the myth in college sports is that when the athletics budget makes money, the nonprofit makes money, that money then is put back in the university in some way. I remember hearing that when I was a student at UVA back in the 90s. Well, look, that new building's going up. It was because the basketball team went to the Elite Eight last year. I mean, that's actually not the case. The athletics money just goes back in the athletics budget, which is fine. That's smart, but it has nothing to do. It's almost like that they are two separate entities that happen to have the same house on the in UVA's case, the same grounds. You know, UVA is an academic institution, and the UVA athletics is an athletics program. It just happens that the student athletes go to school at the university it's attached to. And, you know, honestly, I didn't put this in the column, but, I mean, the reason college sports even exist is just for advertising purposes, is to get your name out there. It's not to make money, to put money back into school. You would just get the donors who help fund this to write checks to the school. That's the best way to make sure that money's going back into school. It's not to blow it on a football coach in a big stadium and athletic scholarships. It'd be to give academic scholarships. Put buildings out there. Hire professors. That'd be the way to, if you're trying to spend $100 million a year and make sure that it has impact on the academic mission, put it in the school. It wouldn't be putting it into the athletics program. So, but the reason we do the athletics is because, well, you know, ESPN loves athletics. And we love watching ESPN and CBS. And the ACC doesn't have a relationship with CBS except during the March Madness. But CBS loves college athletics, and we love the money they spend. You know, those kinds of things. So And then when UVA wins a national championship in basketball or men's lacrosse like happened this year, you know, the coverage of that, especially the basketball, obviously March Madness being what it is, a ratings juggernaut for 4 weeks every March into April. I mean, you get UVA's name mentioned hundreds, thousands, millions of times between all the TV broadcasts and radio broadcasts and the sports talk and the stories written and everything else. That's free publicity. I mean, you know, you're paying for it with the money you put into your program to have success. But in the end, it's about getting attention to the school. And then you hope that, well, one, it has an impact on in terms of the number of kids who apply to school the next year, maybe the next few years. And then you have the more kids who apply naturally, the more top-end kids who are going to apply. And you can say, hey, look at that, the impact on the average class rank and GPA and SAT and ACT of our kids has gone up since the national championship run. And so that was positive. We have smarter kids coming through, and they're going to be successful, and then they're going to leave school. And this is the other part of why you have a successful athletic program. When they leave school, they'll write big checks back to the school. Some of it will go for sports, and then some people will just say, you know what, I'm happy that our basketball program's winning and that people are writing checks to that program, but I would like to write a check to the music department because I was a music major at UVA, and I think I'd like to spend money there. I'm an architecture guy, I'm an engineering lady, whatever the case may be, you write your check where you want it to go. And so college sports exists to get attention to the school. The attention translates into more applicants, better applicants, and then money written back by the alums. That's why to the actual academic part of the school. That's why college sports exists. As long as it can pay its own bills, that's the important thing. And when you look at the numbers up and down the list, and I looked at four. I didn't look at everybody. I peeked at a few other schools, but by and large, there's nobody out there with $20 million in the bank at the end of a year that they're putting somewhere else. You know, largely you spend close to what you bring in. That's good, as long as you're not losing money. That's fine. But now in the context of these athletics performance centers, and again, UVA is not the only one. In fact, UVA is catching up, and we're way behind. You know, there was a push back in the late 80s led to the McHugh Center being built. You know, this is anecdotal. I didn't research this, but, you know, just from memory of, you know, being a aspiring who when I was in high school and then an actual who early 90s in college. You know, Clemson built its own 9,000 square foot football performance center, so UVA wanted to build an 11,000 square foot one. So we built the McHugh Center. You know, and that's been the McHugh Center, though. That was late 80s, early maybe 1990 or so. I mean, this is 2019, so the McHugh Center badly outdated from that context. And so, you know, everybody's got better facilities than us, so yeah, we're catching up there. But that's what we're doing is catching up. We're way behind. So, you know, as soon as we have the big ribbon-cutting ceremony for this new center, Clemson's already got plans in the works, probably. And I say this, probably now. Somebody, maybe not on paper, maybe not through any kind of permit process, approval process, but somebody sitting in that athletics building is already thinking ahead to their next even better Shangri-La. LSU, same thing. Florida State, same thing. UNC, same thing. Everybody's doing this in this sense. At what cost and at what benefit? $180 million for an athletics performance center to just catch up to everybody else. And we're the last one to catch up. It's kind of like in a NASCAR race. We're the last team to change tires. Great. You know, we might gain for a little while because we're on a fresh set and everybody else is, you know, their tires a little worn down, but well, they're going to change theirs again before we change ours again, you know, and so we're going to be constantly in that race and we're going to be behind. I tell you a problem I got, and you hear me complain about this a lot, so I'll just get it out of the way now. And I did write about this in the column. Part of our issue in we're not alone in this. A lot of smaller schools, smaller athletic programs have a bigger issue with this. JMU, for example. Student activity fees, which are those fees. A lot of you guys listening or gals listening are alums of a college somewhere, maybe UVA, maybe another school. When you were in school, most likely the school you went to, you paid your tuition, you paid your room and board, you paid for some meal plan every semester. You also had something called student activity fees. You might not have noticed. You didn't pay attention. You just noticed there was some number there. It was something like $800 or $1,000 for the semester, and you just paid it because they told you to pay it. Well, those dollars go to the athletics department. That's basically just that's taking from academics, because it's money you have to pay. If you worked when you were in school, and if you're in school now, if you worked a part-time job during school, if you worked two jobs in the summer like I did, you paid money to the athletics program. All those out there who have student debt, and there are as many hands in the air right now as there are people listening to this podcast who have student debt outstanding. If there's one of you out there who doesn't, congratulations to you, okay? But those who have the student debt, some of it's associated with money that you didn't have a choice in paying to the athletics program. Now, ostensibly, this got you free tickets. Football games, yes, 40 at the time, back in the 90s, for me, 42,000 seat Sky Stadium. They could easily fill everybody in there, all the students in there. Even now, we would love to have all the students come to games. They don't. But basketball, basketball back then, you didn't get free tickets. You certainly don't now, guaranteed, that is. You get free if you get them, but you don't get guaranteed free tickets because there's more students, more undergrads than there are seats in JPJ, not even counting the grads, not even counting the fact that we actually want to have people buy tickets so we can make some money at this whole thing. So you paid money for student activity fees. You didn't always get tickets, but you didn't even have a choice to matter anyway. You paid it. And that's at UVA the last 5 years, at least the last 5 years from the USA Today's numbers, 2012, 2017. The numbers consistently 13 million plus at UVA. So, with a year, the most recent year being 2016, 2017, where the budget was $100 million, that's easy. I can do that math. 13 million out of 100 million, 13% of the budget is money in student activity fees. So not only is the myth that the successful athletics program writes checks to the academic mission and pays for things when we have profits from sports, that's a myth. We know, I've already debunked that myth. But the actuality is they're taking $13 million from the academic side in the form of the checks that we wrote as students, or that we our current students are writing, and giving it to the athletics program. So it's a net loss for the kids. And I rant about that every year, but it's something that's worth noting and thinking about when you're thinking about, well, gosh, Chris, you're the one complaining about $180 million athletics facility and all this kind of, I'm not bringing this up. I'm just discussing it. But, I'm not ranting about this. I'm not going to start some petition on change.org saying UVA should not build an athletics performance center. And that's the sad part of this here. The depressing part, as I say, is that all we're really doing this for is because everybody else does it. I mean, even JMU. You hear me sneer at JMU. The folks in their athletics department pissed me off years ago, and I don't really care. So, but I mean, they think the folks there think that they're going to go get an invite to the AAC, which they're not. I debunked that one a few weeks ago, but it was easy. That was among the easier things. It was kind of like debunking anybody would say that gravity doesn't exist. But they're spending a lot of money. They spend a lot of money in their football stadium, which they can't even fill up. They had 8,000 fans at a playoff game last year, which is just atrocious. They're building this new 8,800 seat. I think it's 8,800 seat, 8,000 plus seat at least. Basketball arena. When they can't fill up the smaller one, the Convo Center they have now, with that horrible basketball team they have now. But they're building a new one, and. So it's not just UVA, it's not just Clemson, it's not just LSU. Everybody's doing this. Everybody's blowing money on this stuff. And in our case, I'm a UVA guy. I literally have a UVA tattoo on my shoulder. I'm going to get another one here pretty soon. The degree on the wall. Got the Final Four confetti in a bag on my desk right here as I'm doing this podcast. I've got a Sean Doolittle, Obi-Sean Kenobi bobblehead. In part, I'm a Nats fan. In part because it's Sean Doolittle. Watched him pitch EVA. I mean, so I'm that guy. I'm the guy that just, you know, I eat and breathe and sleep this and everything else. But what are we gaining here? We're just keeping up. And at the end of the day, you know, we're always going to be behind. I mentioned the NASCAR analogy I used. We're always going to be, you know, out of date with our fresh set of tires compared to the other guys. And, frankly, I don't know if I want to be Clemson. I don't know if I want to be FSU or be LSU or anybody else. No offense to their schools, their alums, the people who work hard, their fans, etc. I don't want to be them. I want UVA to be UVA. They've got their priorities and we got ours. I'd like to think what I like about being a UVA alum, and then a huge UVA sports fan then too, because I am that. I'm both in the same person. What I like is that our basketball team won a championship this past year, but you know our most recent most famous basketball alum, Malcolm Brogdon, was maybe the most coveted second tier free agent this past offseason, and he makes his hay in the offseason in addition to signing four-year $85 million contracts by helping build wells for communities in Africa that don't have fresh water, along with Chris Long, our two-time Super Bowl winner, recently retired from the NFL. They're leading this effort to do that. Those kind of athletes are the ones I'm proud of, and the fact that they win games. I mean, yeah, we win games with people who are going to, no matter what you say about Malcolm Brogdon as a basketball player, and there's still the question marks. Maybe he's not athletic enough. He is, but maybe he's not. did the Pacers make a mistake in signing him to be their point guard when he's really a shooting guard? And I think he is a shooting guard, but no, there's no mistake there. But there are a lot of questions you can say about Malcolm Brogdon, the basketball player. I don't think it's disputable that when he's done with basketball, he's going to make a bigger impact on the world post-basketball. And it's not going to be – I hope I'm not wrong about this. Sometimes you can be. But it's not going to be where he takes over Charles Barkley's job on inside the NBA. He's going to be the Secretary General of the United Nations. He's going to be a – I almost think it'd be a step down. When I used to say he's going to be a senator and run for president. It'd almost be a step down the way politics works in America these days to do that. But, maybe he'll be Secretary of State or, be the head of a global nonprofit that actually does solve all the world's problems. Something like that. Chris Long is in a similar capacity. People who are leaders off the field who happen to be really good on the field. And that's the UVA that I love. If we win games, great. And if we win, because we're winning games with people like that, if we play people like that and we don't win the championships, at the end of the day, I'm still happy. I would much prefer to be this UVA sports fan that I am, and I would much prefer us to be where we are, almost always competitive in all the important sports, getting back in football now, right? But I'd rather us be that than, have a roster full of guys who get in legal trouble and, have a coach that has some ethical issues and, there's payment to players and that, and families, and there's bribery and there's all kinds of stuff going on behind the scenes, and grades are being altered to keep guys out. I mean, classes created that aren't really classes that kids are taking to stay out, all that stuff. No. It's much deeper than that to me. And I think in the end, and I think the bulk of you listen to this, maybe if not everybody listen to this, you actually would begrudgingly agree that it does mean, and that's why I think this national championship of basketball meant so much this past year, because it was good kids and a quality character coach who put them in the right places, and they won, you know, and that's what makes it more special. And I think this football season will feel more special. You know, UVA is the favorite in the Coastal. I honestly think UVA football, I'd be surprised if they don't win the Coastal. I think they're going to go 10-2 this year and play Clemson and Charlotte in early December. And who knows? Maybe you got a chance to upset Clemson. And if all that happens with the group of kids that Bronco Mendenhall's put in place, that means more than if it's a bunch of kids that, you know, aren't really taking the classes they're supposedly taking and are going to leave their experience at UVA without job prospects and without life prospects. That's, you know, so in that context, so the question from Shereen Blair was more specific to, you know, would you rather see this money invested or would you rather see Bronco develop those five-star kids from the 2 and 3 stars that he gets? I told a story last week about Bryce Hall, two-star cornerback from Pennsylvania, the 202nd best player in his class, the 54th best player in the state of Pennsylvania, or 202nd best cornerback, I should say, in his class, not the 202nd best player. Jeez, he went in close to that. Two-star recruit who, by the end of his third year, was being talked about as a first-round NFL draft pick. I mean, 3 years. That speaks to his will. It speaks to the ability of Bronco Mendenhall and his staff, his training staff, which wasn't what it is now. I mean, Carla Williams has come in and really redoubled and retripled efforts to improve, you know, the number and quality of people in the training and conditioning staff. And all that spit and tape and gumption, and Bryce Hall went from a two-star recruit to a first-round pick, and he's going to be a first-round pick in the 2020 draft, right? You know, yeah, we're going to build this 180-man-yard facility anyway. I'm not stopping that. I'm not trying to stop that. I am trying to make you think a little bit. Just trying to make you think a little bit that you know, there are more important things. And I would argue that there are probably better ways we could spend that $180 million. And I would ask this, anyone out there listening who has donated or thought about donating money to that project, do it. I'm not telling you not to. Please do it. Because, you know, right now you're committed. UVA is committed to building that thing. So when you commit, you got to pay for it. So continue with your commitments. Or proceed with your commitments if you haven't already done so, but you're ready to do so, do that. Give a similar amount of money to the academics. You know, there's the Access UVA program. I've talked about this before. I think it bears repeating on this podcast as we wrap up. I'm a UVA graduate, and I grew up in tough circumstances. You know, the son of teenage parents, single-parent home eventually in a trailer park in rural Augusta County, 40 miles away from UVA. But I grew up in the shadow of UVA, and I'm told that from the time I was 4 years old, I don't have vivid memories of this myself, but I was told by my mother, who's since passed, that from the time I was 4 years old, I told everybody I was going to go to school at UVA. And I was fortunate to be accepted and work my way through and graduate, and it changed my life. It changed everything about my life. The prospects in my life. I mean, a kid who grows up in a trailer park in a rural area, anywhere in this country, is not supposed to have great prospects. Generally speaking, you end up yourself in that same situation. You end up with, you know, a not very good paying job. You end up with not much of an education, and then you have kids, and the cycle kind of continues. It's a cycle of poverty. And because of UVA, I've been able to do something with my life. A lot with my life, very fortunate. I've been able to do a lot with my life. And I attribute it to my own hard work, but also the fact that UVA took a chance on me and let me in school. And so I look forward to many more people like me having similar opportunities. And sometimes they're athletes. We hear those stories about athletes all the time. I mean, you know, you hear the hard scrabble come from nowhere stories and kids who use force to get out of tough situations. But it's not always sports that do that. And so that's why I say, if we're going to commit this kind of money to the athletics program, I'd like to see a similar amount committed and continue to be committed to our kids like me. I want to see a lot more people like me come out of trailer parks and make the world a better place. And so with that, that was a football talk. Isn't that interesting? That was a football podcast. Okay, so thank you for indulging me on this. I greatly appreciate it. And also, we're going to be dropping a couple more podcasts today. We're going to do a basketball podcast. And then Rod Mullins and I, EVA basketball podcast, and Rod Mullins and I will also talk some NASCAR here on this Thursday. Also this week, I'll be talking with Jerry Carter tomorrow, our normal Friday wrap-up of the week. So a lot coming for you to listen to this weekend. If you're listening to this one, there's more out there. So please tune in. Thank you for listening. I greatly appreciate it. Wahoo, wahoo.